We all know and love our local businesses, but do we really know the people behind the business? Your hosts, Eric Fix and Stephen Flitico from the Genesee County Chamber, sit down with the local business owners of our region and discuss their stories and insights on what it's like owning and operating a business in Genesee County and why.
All right. We're back.
We're back.
Season 2, episode 2. We just recorded our first one.
2-2 and 22.
Yeah. 2-2-2.
Season one is over?
Yeah, we
season
did it last year.
And I missed it.
Yes, but you're on season two. So.
All right, okay.
So that's what's important.
You also apparently missed it, because you obviously haven't listened, so there we go.
He's not one of the 100 people that listen all the time.
So I'm a sequel.
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
Part due.
Yeah, so we're back, behind the business, Genesee County, highlighting local businesses in Genesee County, highlighting the stories of the people behind the business, hence the name. And today we have Kent Yule. Where are you from, Kent?
Originally?
Well, what do you do for a living?
Well, I own O'Lacey's Irish Pub here in Batavia.
Okay. For anybody that doesn't know, it's on School Street in Batavia.
Number 5.
Okay. Number 5.
Number 5, yes.
The one with the Irish flag.
It's half ripped most of the time because of the gutters on the building, yeah.
Can't control the weather.
Nope.
Well, let's start there. We got a little bit into your history, but what'd you do before O'Lacey's?
Well, I grew up in Pavilion.
Okay.
And then went to college, played football for 4 years.
What position?
I was...
You told me this.
Tough guy.
You told me this.
Kicker punter.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just listened to WGR this morning. They were talking for a good my whole way into work about getting rid of kickers and punters in the NFL.
Well, Kent wouldn't have played in college there if that were true.
Would have been.
No, I wouldn't have.
You had to go play soccer instead.
But I had good time, and my parents liked it because of scholarship money. So
nice.
Yeah.
What college?
Waynesburg. It was Waynesburg College at the time. Now it's Waynesburg University.
Okay.
So it was NAIA. It wasn't NCAA. It was NAIA football. So it was pretty good football. It was fun. Yeah.
You grew up in Pavilion, you said?
Yep. And then moved to Batavia. And when I got out of college, I was an English major, didn't want to teach. I did everything except student teach, and I realized that's not for me. So I answered an ad in the paper, got hired to sell real estate in late 1979, and to get money, I was like doing construction, and then I coached JV basketball at Wyoming, did stuff, substitute taught, etc., and started selling real estate in the fall of 1979. And then bought the Century 21 franchise that I was working with in 1985.
Yeah, and I was going to say your building was right where La Cata Chiropractic is.
Correct.
Right?
I moved there.
Right near Eagle Star House.
Moved there in 87. I bought that building and rehabbed it. Moved the office down there in 1987.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now what led to the passion project that is O'Lacey's?
The passion project.
Yeah.
Sure, he's got other words for it. Passion project.
You know, it's kind of comical because I bought the building there was owned by Robin Lamb, who did Darien Knitting Mill. And he used to sell his T-shirts there. But there was that building was Grundler's Bakery. There was a bunch of businesses. I don't remember them all right now. That were at that. And it was a one-story wood frame building. And it came up for sale. And I said, well, why don't I buy that as an investment? It's got a nice parking lot across from it. And I was just going to rehab it and rent it to an accountant, attorney, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to Providence, Rhode Island on St. Patrick's Day in 96. So I bought the building in late 95. And I went in St. Patrick's Day in 96. And I spent way too much time at a place called Aiden's Pub. And I came home and I said, change plans. We're going to knock the building down and build an Irish pub.
I was going to say, I thought you built from ground up there.
Yeah. So we knocked it down.
Not that I was paying attention back then to the pub that was going up around the corner.
I think you fell into the basement once, didn't you? No. But anyways, so that was a change of plans. So we leveled the building, dug a basement, and I hired O'Shea Construction to build an Irish pub. I thought that wasn't too bad.
Yes, that's a smart move.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, are you Irish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty well, a lot. The O'Lacy's came from my mom's maiden name was Lacey.
Gotcha.
And so I kind of bastardized it. Can I say that on this? No.
What?
In this context.
Made it more Irish.
To put the O'Lacy in. But there was, there's several, DeLacy, Lacey, L-A-C-E-Y, was my mother's maiden name. And that spelling is over there. L-A-C-Y is over there. DeLacy is over there. I have never seen an O'Lacy, but there is one in Batavia. So.
Yes, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
See?
Got to start somewhere.
I thought I knew everything about O'Lacy's. I didn't know that. Didn't know it was named after his mother.
Yeah, that was... the original name was going to be O'Leary's Udder. O'Leary's Udder Pub. And then we could celebrate the Great Chicago Fire every year. But and so there is a picture of the original logo on the wall.
Okay. I'll have to look for that.
It's a Holstein cow playing the bagpipes, and her bagpipes are her udder. So
I'm happy you went the direction that she did.
I think O'Lacy's was a smart move.
I think you made the right choice.
Well, that's what some of the females that told me. They said it would have been, wouldn't have been proper. I should say proper.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have got the crowd that you were expecting.
So it was kind of I didn't have experience. Uh-huh. It was a hire experienced people in the business, learn from them.
Did you do it by yourself? Or did you have any partners at first?
Or no partners.
Just you?
No.
Yeah.
There is not 1 ounce of public money in that building or business.
It's just you.
We never used any grants, nothing.
Yeah.
Everything was paid for. Yeah.
What'd you do? Just like hire like experienced bartenders and stuff like that?
Yeah. And I learned that everybody has a different way of looking at the business. Mm-hmm. And I learned from a bunch of people. So it was kind of nice. So I put everything in one basket and tried to figure everything out. And little by little, I had never been to Ireland, when we opened. Actually I was married to Nancy at the time. And, the person that did the color scheme was Mary Mossman.
Of course.
And, so she did and a lot of people were saying green, you know, painted green. The national color of Ireland is blue. It's not green. Huh. And most of the pubs over there, I hadn't been at the time. I've been there 4 times now, but they are not the green that you see or whatever like that. They're the tan, mm-hmm. and they've got a lot of colors. A lot of the doors are red and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of the neutrals that you're going to get when you build a building out of whatever they build them over there and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it was kind of neat. So she did a great job with the color scheme and everything in there. Anne Verhaeghe was the architect. She was from Leroy. So she worked with Dan. We had to adjust a few things on that. But there was a lot of things that went on that I learned later on that I should have been able to do or didn't do or whatever, like the bathroom situation. I shouldn't say I had problems with the city, but they wouldn't approve a men's room and a ladies' room and a handicap unisex. They wouldn't approve that. I said, why? they said both bathrooms had to be handicapped. So we went through that whole thing. It's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah, that's not. Yeah.
There's always those.
Yeah. So everything was done, and then we had to rip it out, and then we had to redo it. And
so you did this whole entire thing without having been to Ireland.
Correct.
And seeing a pub.
Yes.
Authentic.
Correct. We looked at books.
Right.
Pictures.
Because you couldn't even Google back then.
No, back then you didn't Google. You didn't do anything. So, and lo and behold, it's pretty close.
I was going to say, I've seen people say that it's like, it's traditional.
It's very, very traditional for the older pubs. The only thing that's missing is they have a lot of stools and benches. Uh-huh. Again, I wanted to put in some of that stuff, and it would have cut my occupancy down.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out, because if there was a fire and chairs tip over, I thought people would trip over them and stuff like that. If you got out of a booth, you're just walk out. But the occupancy would have been almost half if I'd have put in booths and stuff. It was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know it, but that's what we did, so that's all right.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I don't know that I'd like it with booths.
I think I like the look of the tables.
Some of them, it would have been nice to have a couple.
Maybe
of them.
Not all.
No, not just lined up, but just a little bit alcoves. Because alcoves. Ireland has these little corners, and they were like little private corners that people sat in and stuff like that. So. Yeah.
Now let's talk more about that. How about like the decor in there? I mean, that's just, you've gathered it over the years, right?
I was going to bring you pictures of, I have them sitting on the counter and I forgot them, of when everything was painted.
Okay.
The furniture's in.
Yeah.
And there's not one thing on the wall.
Yeah.
It's basically when everything was done, ready to open, and I was waiting for my license to come. And it's like there's nothing there. It's just.
Did it look bigger?
I'm not sure bigger, but it looks weird.
Yeah.
So when we opened, there was absolutely nothing on the walls.
Yeah.
For anybody, ceiling or anything.
Yeah. For anybody that hasn't been into O'Lacey's, I mean, first off, go to O'Lacey's, but second off, it's like a almost like a man cave type.
Well,
yeah, you know, and but it's all Irish.
And no, there's a lot of local stuff.
There's a lot of local.
Like, I mean, I'm kind of proud to have the original blueprint of the Holland Land Office.
Okay.
That type of stuff. We've got a picture of Thomas Edison standing out front of the Holland Land Office. We've got old postcards of Batavia and stuff like that. Leroy. So there's a lot of local stuff on the walls, but a lot of it Irish too, yes.
Yeah.
And something is put up pretty much every week. It might be small now because there's not a lot of room, but
yeah,
I make sure something stupid goes up and changes so that people come in and look around.
Well, we're going to get into this here because we haven't touched on it yet, but Kent's wife, Kelly, works with Eric and I over at the Chamber of Commerce, so we talk about O'Lacey's quite a bit.
She says she works real hard over there.
She does. She's a very hard worker. There's lots of events and stuff like that that she
does. We've got a lot of events going on.
Yeah, that's why she's not doing this podcast. She leaves it to me and Eric because she's got events. But she talked about you guys did a garage sale because you had so much collectible Irish stuff, and you guys, like, sold it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, not all Irish and stuff, but I had a lot of older musical instruments and stuff like that that we had collected. And when I moved from my house and we combined into one house, we had to do something.
Uh-huh.
And
your stuff got the boot.
Well, no, not all of it, but it's some of it did. And so there was some stuff that we weren't going to use, and it was kind of neat. And people, you know, showed up, and there was some, like, T-shirts and stuff that we were selling, the O'Lacey's stuff. So everything, it was fun. It was a real fun Saturday and Sunday to watch people come in. And I always wanted them to have a couple beers before they went out on the patio to drink, because I thought that the sales would increase. But, you know, it was fun. I always thought as a pub owner, which, incidentally, I believe that there's a difference between a bar, a tavern, and a pub.
Okay.
My theory on a pub is communication, sit down and talk, converse, that type of stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to have...
Right, and if you look at O'Lacey's, there's no electronic darts, there's no jukebox.
No pool table.
There's no pool table, there's no electronic video games.
Hardly a TV. Hardly a TV.
They're available, but they're not something that's right smacking you
in the
face.
You're not having a Bills game day celebration Sunday.
No, it's more for people to converse. You know, you're supposed to get the daily gossip at a pub. And that's, across the pond, that's what they do. They go down and they learn everything that's going on in their community by having a couple beers and talking. So it's kind of neat. So anyways, that's what
I have to start doing lunches there. Get all the town gossip.
Yeah. Well, that's what, I also thought community wise, and you were supposed to give stuff back and do things. We started a St. Patrick's Day parade. We had 9 of them. I know Eric
won one once.
Yes, you did. You won the first one.
I don't know if it was the first one.
But yeah, it was Finnegan's Wake.
No, that was my parents did.
Oh, okay.
How do you win a parade?
You win.
We had judges. Are you kidding me?
Steven was two when you did the parade.
So you did like a float or something?
Yeah, you did a float. It started out back up behind Subway and that.
Well, it's, yeah, it changed. And then Jerry Reinhardt let us do the right at the end of School Street. Yeah. But we went the three blocks of School Street and we did nine of them. And the last parade, we had over 60 units. Wow. We had six bagpipe bands. We had four other bands. We had three Irish dance groups.
The crazy part about it is everybody fit no laces afterwards.
Talking
about occupancy.
It was fun. It just got, what happened was it got too expensive to do. Yeah. Because you got to pay all these people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a bagpipe band, they were getting around $600 to march in the parade. So it got a little bit expensive. But it was, it was a fun day. What's that?
Pretty sure I paid for that day.
You might have. But it was fun. So little things like that, that's not like the night before Thanksgiving where people go out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like New Year's Eve where people go out. That was another day that Batavia didn't have.
Yeah,
and it was a fun day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I mean we've done other things that have been very conscious of donations.
I know you guys are big with Crossroads.
Yeah, and a lot of places. And I figured it out a couple of years ago that we've averaged over $10,000 a year
in
donations. Which is not bad for a small place.
It's not. And, you know, I say the same thing I always say when we talk about this. You got to support your local businesses. I mean, they are the people that are donating to nonprofits. And it's like,
Batavia is a small enough community that it should work. It should be very simple to work that people, you know, you walk the streets, you go in, you have a meal here. This person's donating this. This person's getting this.
It all just feeds off each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's why we did this. It's really why the concept of this podcast was, because people need to hear that stories. And you know, there's probably people out there who've been in your place 20, 30 times. They don't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In a nutshell, Eric, I can tell you a conversation I had. And I don't, I mean, I'm saying it now, which makes it kind of sound like I'm bragging about it. Not that it's a bad thing, but we used to do our all the Christmas donations that we did through the Marines, okay? We've done it through the city police department and all this other stuff before, right? But I've never done, until this year, because I couldn't donate to the Marines, I've never advertised to drop off stuff at Ken Barrett as a sponsor. Mm-hmm. I've always just, nobody knows about it.
Yep.
And I think that I feel good when I drop stuff off, and when we go buy toys I go over to Adam Miller's and I say, just fill this up. Let's get some stuff and we'll take it down.
Yeah. It all
we've done,
off
we've
each
done
other.
Coats, mittens, gloves, you name it. And then always a cash donation to people. So
it's a community. I mean, that's what it is. And it's, you know, and local businesses are the heartbeat of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's, before I started working at the chamber, I might have not thought that, but being in it, you know, you just see it.
Yeah, I know talking to other people that own places and stuff, there's a lot of people that do a lot that people don't know.
Don't know about, yeah.
They don't know about, and they don't they don't see the time, even not just donations, but just time donated.
Mm-hmm.
People don't see the business people doing those things because they're doing it because they want to, not because they're trying to get advertisement for it.
You're not doing that to expect somebody to come in with laces on it. No, you're doing it because you're in the position that you can do it, and you recognize
that it's good for the community.
Well, and that's something that I always harp on too. The other end of it is that you guys are what make it unique, the community unique. I mean, everybody's got a Walmart. Everybody's got a Target. You know, it's like local businesses downtown are what make a community.
Remember, everybody doesn't have a Wegmans.
Yes. That's one thing we're not going to talk about, because I do love Wegmans.
I think your wife can talk to how many phone calls we get about that.
But it's like, you know, that's what makes Batavia unique is the businesses downtown. Yeah. So we have to, as a community, take a focus
on supporting them. I have always been an advocate of, rather than apartments, I wish we were leaning towards a hotel downtown. I really do.
See, I've never
boutique
thought of that.
Boutique hotel.
Yeah. If you want foot traffic, and I've said this to the people of the city council, and whatever anybody does, they know more than me. But if you want foot traffic, somebody in a hotel is going to go have lunch. They're going to go have dinner. Somebody that has an apartment, they might go out once a week, maybe twice. A person in a hotel or a motel goes out all the time.
Yeah, every night.
So if you want to support the businesses that are serving food and beverage, it's a hotel that you want. Yeah.
I've never even thought of that.
Kent's going to open a B&B right next door. Right next door to Lacey's. What's the building there? Marathon, really?
Mike and Jake. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing that was really neat that we've done, in my opinion, is we've had music and we've done it all during the week. We don't do it on weekends. And we do it early enough so people can go out, enjoy themselves. And I've never charged any cover charge for anybody.
Yep.
I think that that's part of a pub. That's part of the energy that a pub needs. I think it's something that you give back to the community as entertainment. We used to have a magician that came in. We've had other things that happened and stuff. It's just something that anything that can make it unique for people. I go and buy pint glasses at like the Salvation Army and Goodwill and stuff that have other people's businesses on them because it makes people talk. Like, why are we serving something that's got somebody else's logo on it? And you can hear them sometimes talking and asking questions. But anything that you can create that creates energy and conversation is.
Won't you guys do something funny for drink chips too?
Oh, that was our drink chips come, and we were written up in their newsletter from the president of the Milk Bottle Collectors Society of America, and they're the cardboard tops to the quart milk bottles.
Yeah,
and he has a whole supply of old ones, and then I stamp the back of them. And we use those for drink chips. And we've done that. And so we had a nice article in their newsletter, their national newsletter, about using the drink or the tops to the bottles for our drink chips. Yeah.
That's cool. Another nice little talking piece.
So 25 years.
Yep.
What's planned?
April 15th. Yeah. 25 years. What's planned?
Yeah. Besides, it's business after hours with the chamber.
Yeah. April 26th, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, okay. Something like that. You'll find out about it later.
We got it. Yeah,
I'm the last one to know about this.
It's covered on our end.
I knew there was something in April, but I wasn't sure.
Just make sure there's food. We're good.
We got music a couple times in April. We'll have Jerry Timlin will do the 14th. Mickey Spain and his brother Liam will do the 28th. And those are both 7:30 to 10:30 items. And then we'll have the chamber business after hours. But other than that, there won't be a cutting of the cake or anything that I know of.
No, we don't need to bring the giant scissors.
No, it's, no. And, it'll just be, a kind of a month long celebration of what I think has been a pretty nice thing for the community. It's been fun for me.
It's been fun for a lot of us.
It's more tiring than it used to be. I know that. So.
Well, it's like a hometown pub. You know, when people talk about, like, where do you go in Batavia? Like, everybody's got a little, like, charm crush on Olacy's. They're like, oh, yeah, you got to go to Olacy's.
You know what? It's been nice. The people have done, the employees that we've had over the years have maintained the integrity and the atmosphere. So that's been nice. It's really nice to travel and go to places and people that have traveled through Batavia have stopped there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll have a sweatshirt on or a jacket that's got a logo or something like that. And it's surprising the number of places that you stop and somebody will say, have you been there? Yeah. Yeah, I actually have been there.
Yeah. Once or twice.
Usually about 6.5 days a week. Yeah. So.
Well, once or twice.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Cool. So we wrap these up with four quick questions. We call them the final four. So first one is, what was your first car?
Oh, Ford Granada.
What year? I'm not going to date you with that.
74.
Oh, three.
I got to Google that.
What was the last book you read?
Oh, God. I don't...
That's the most typical answer we get.
Wait a second. God. Well, I can't remember the title of it. I just read. I don't like books that you can't set down and it takes you a while to pick up. And I like to read stuff that you can stop and then pick it right up again. So that's fairly easy, enjoyable reading. It was a book on Scotland that I just finished, and it was like little facts on Scotland, but I can't remember the name of it.
Now you got to go days make sure on your next trip you hit a couple of those places.
Yeah.
First job.
First job off the farm, because I grew up on a farm. First job off the farm.
Well, the farm counts probably, but off the farm.
Was harvesting peas for Bobby Jeffries.
Really?
Yep. I drove a pea combine.
Did you really?
Yep.
All 2 miles an hour of it?
Uh-huh. I used to get off, and now this was back before it was one machine. Combine. So I was on the tractor. I used to get off to stay awake and walk next to the tractor because it was moving so slow. But you would work for 18, 19, 20 hours and then get a couple hours sleep because when peas were ready,
ready to go, you got to go.
You got to go.
That's what people say all the time.
Is that the Ford? Granada.
Granada.
Try again. And then the last one is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Besides... Is a superpower like not being stiff and sore all the time?
No, body recovery. I could do that. Like recovery.
Yeah. Instant recovery. Like that's healing, a superpower. Like healing power.
Actually, a superpower that I would like is having a memory that was better.
Having a phenomenal,
so that you remembered everything.
Think of the stories you could tell if you actually remembered everything.
Yeah. And instead of getting halfway through the story.
Right, and forgetting what it was trying to say. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I'm done.
Yeah, you're done.
This is painless.
We got 27 minutes of great conversation.
This is absolutely painless.
You bring the owner of a pub to do a podcast, and it should be pretty painless, right? Wind you up and watch you go.
Yeah, there was no tap here. That was just the only thing that bothered
me. We'll work on that. We'll talk to Gregory.
He'll find a grant for it somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, get a beer tap.
Well, I appreciate you guys asking me in, and it's been fun. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you for coming in, Kevin.
Yep.
Listening. This podcast is brought to you as a public service from the Genesee County Chamber of Commerce. For more episodes, listen and subscribe on any of your favorite podcast apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many more. See you next time. Next time. Next time. Next time. Next time.